This is Liz Cafidi at UN News. After 10 years of war in Syria, there are likely tens of thousands of detainees across the country held by the government and opposition groups, a traumatic waiting game for the families unsure of their fate. In an interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, rights investigator Hani Megali from the Commission of Inquiry on Syria explains what steps the international community is taking to resolve the situation and what obstacles it still faces.
It's really a very, very sorry picture. After 10 years of conflict, over half the population are now displaced. Many of the cities are in rubble. It's a staggering 12.4 million Syrians are food insecure. International aid and assistance is being denied because the borders are being closed. There's only one crossing left to bring outside aid into Syria, unless you do it through Damascus, which many aid organizations are reluctant to do because it tends to then be diverted by the government in Syria to not the most neediest of places. The population has suffered aerial bombardments, chemical attacks, arbitrary arrests and disappearances. Inside the country, more than 6 million internally displaced in horrific conditions. Now it's winter. If you see the pictures of swamps where camps are set up, etc., so we're prioritizing, yes, of course, a way to stop the conflict now, immediately, so that people can begin to tackle the real problems that they're facing to live within a country that's been devastated by 10 years.
So I barely want to say it, but this is the 21st report that's going to be presented and that's been requested by the Human Rights Council. What is it that you're hoping to achieve? You do have in your sights the Security Council and international inaction to bring this war to an end, don't you?
Yes, sadly, the Security Council has been stalled by differences of opinion within the Security Council. And so even efforts to bring the Security Council to move the Syria file to the International Criminal Court have failed. So people have been looking to other ways to try and get movement on the Syria situation. And in essence, a mechanism was established to look at accountability in Syria and ways of holding those responsible for the crimes there accountable. And that mechanism was, in fact, established by the General Assembly because there was a realization, I think, that it wouldn't get through the Security Council. We've seen European governments, by and large, judicial authorities, by and large, begin to look at holding Syrians on their territory who have fled the country accountable for crimes they may have committed inside Syria. So we're beginning to see movements in various places to tackle the problems. But really the biggest problem we're seeing is that many of the countries that are involved in Syria ostensibly to help solve the problems have actually added to them. And there are no clean hands, as we say in the report. All actors have been committing violations. All have been prioritizing winning the war or temporarily gaining territorial control and have been sacrificing civilian actors. All have been worrying about protecting their own fighters and they have not cared about what happens to the civilian population as a result.
Now, at the UN in Geneva, there have been a series of constitutional talks about providing a political solution, a political way forward for the country. But one of the things the UN Special Envoy, who's leading these talks, always says is he wants to see concrete measures for the people of Syria so that they have confidence in this constitutional process. And one of those measures would be the release of detainees. How can you help to bring that about?
Of course, one of the biggest issues are the detainees. And in Syria, if you're detained, you're often missing because your family don't know where you are. They can't access you. They can't visit. The authorities are not telling them where you're being held, etc. And you may no longer be alive, as is sadly the case in many instances. So we've been pushing for a mechanism, an international mechanism, to be looking at the whole issue of the missing and the disappeared in Syria and coordinating all the other efforts that have been going on to collect names and provide lists so that we can begin to get some energy into looking at how we could move forward on that issue. And of course, we've been pushing the authorities And also the armed groups who are holding also detainees and hostages.
Can I ask you how many there are still detained in Syria? Is there any way of knowing, really?
Very difficult. I mean, all the figures point to over 100,000 detained, missing, disappeared. Now, how many of them are alive is very difficult to tell, since the authorities are not admitting to even holding people. But if we can push for international access to the places of detention, for example, by the International Committee of the Red Cross, then we would know who's alive and in detention. We would know who's no longer alive. And at least the families would be able to start putting their lives back together again.
Are you getting any cooperation?
We're pushing at all aspects. There, a couple of years ago, the Syrian authorities began issuing notifications to families that their relatives were no longer alive in detention, and that way, in essence, giving them a pathway to getting death certificates. But of course, for the families, there was absolutely no proof that, you know, they could believe this information. And in fact, they were galvanized to be saying, this is not enough, we need more information. If they're no longer alive, where are the bodies? You know, we would like closure. You know, can you provide us evidence, etc. So in some ways, it didn't work out the way that the authorities might have thought it would. And while the hope was that process might develop into something bigger, it seems to have stalled a little bit.
And with the advent of COVID, how has that changed the urgency of the need to get information about these detainees?
Again, the authorities have not been very transparent. That, you know, it's not just Syria. Many countries, I think, have displayed the same approach to the numbers. So we've called on the authorities to do things like close the small makeshift secret places of detention, to release many of those in detention that are really not being held for serious security reasons, to clean up the prisons, but above all, to allow access so that the international community can also help with this and relieve them a little bit of the potential ticking bomb of this deadly virus spreading very fast. And prisons are one of the key areas that we've seen from data around the world that it can spread very quickly.
What sort of accountability are we seeing after a decade of war? What sort of justice is it that you want the people of Syria to get?
I mean, of course, one of the priorities is they want to see those responsible for their misery held accountable, brought to trial, convicted, etc. But they also want to get on with their lives. And part of it is, of course, finding out what's happened to their missing relatives. Women are particularly vulnerable. For example, if the husband is missing, you know, it's a country where everything depends on the husband being around, and the paperwork depends on a male figure being around with their names on leases, on certificates, etc. So that file can be given priority. And if the state can begin understanding that it's not just a problem of those that they're holding, but it's a problem of their families and relatives as well, you know, that would help. There's a lot of need for psychosocial assistance. You know, even those who've been released after being detained for lengthy periods in horrific conditions and tortured, and they're now back within the community with very little help, both those released, but also their families who are having to cope with the stress of not knowing where they were, and then they come back to them changed people. The children who have now grown up in 10 years of horrific conflict, chemical weapons, barrel bombs, as you mentioned, aerial bombardment of civilian populated areas, bombardments of hospitals. The trauma that you can see if you talk to Syrians has to be addressed with help. And people may sometimes belittle the talk about psychosocial assistance, but that's how the country will be able to get back on its feet, if people are helped with those types of issues.